fellow Egypts. Welcome to Taranoia. Taranoia, of course, is the podcast named after my own fears and insecurities. We all have them, but I've got my own special brand. That said, we are all Egypts, but we're all only doing our best. Isn't that the way? That's the hope anyway. This Halloween spooky special of Taranoia is brought to you by Fearial, the world's scariest breakfast cereal. Fearial, have it every day. Do one thing every day that scares you? Why not have some Fearial? Who needs fiber? This will scare the crap right out of you. Fearial, it comes in a box. That's right, it's Halloween. Welcome to Taranoia. Buffy the podcat is knocking around my feet, so she might meow at any time, like a scary witch's familiar. It's great to have her. It's great to have you, Buffy. She's just shaking her head there. Halloween. What are we all afraid of? There's a dog barking outside. Some of you are afraid of dogs. Some of you are afraid of cats. I am afraid of ribbons. And that's something that really comes against me as an actor. If I'm doing something where it's sort of old-fashionedy and I have to wear ribbons or something with, you know, bits of ribbon on it, oh, it's just gross. And I don't know why. It's a really irrational fear, but it's a fear nonetheless. It's not that I'm afraid they're going to kill me or anything. I don't think they're going to wrap coil around my neck like a fecking snake and kill me. That's not what I'm thinking. It's more just, ugh, they're just so fluttery and I hate ribbons is what I'm saying. I've written about this before, but honestly, if you want to give me a present that I will never open, please put a ribbon on it. Then you'll have all the good of giving me a present, but because I'll never open it, it could be terrible or it could be empty. There could be nothing. I'll have all the good of saying thank you and loving you for thinking of me, but I won't ever open it. It'll be in the attic with all the other ribbony things. That's why I won't go in the attic. That's why attics are scary to me. I don't think there are ghosts in there. I just think there are ribbons. I'm afraid of climate change. That's a real thing I am afraid. Well, I'm afraid of the ribbons too. That's real. But you know what I mean? Something that you won't think is as irrational unless you're one of those climate change deniers. Hi there. I don't think this podcast is for you, but you're welcome anyway. Hello, hate listeners. You're just as welcome as the non-hate listeners. I am afraid of climate change because I'm afraid of roasting like an old potato or boiling like that same old potato, but in the water as the seas rise. That's happening. And my granddad always used to, well, here comes the hokey bit, hokey corner. My granddad always used to say, don't be afraid of the dead. It's the living you should be afraid of. And I think he's right, especially the way things are going at the moment. So the best thing is to plow on and hope for the best and just try not to be dicks. I'm not finding it easy at the moment. I'm not finding it easy not to be a dick. I'm cranky and short-tempered. I'm just frustrated with stuff and things aren't clicking. Do you know what I mean? Nothing's really bad is going wrong, but things aren't clicking. So I'm frustrated with myself. So I'm the dick. I'm the dick. Perhaps I was the dick all along. That's like the end of one of those scary stories. And speaking of scary stories, I have three for you today. Three exclusive scary stories that have never been heard, read, listened to, spoken anywhere before. So I'm going to read them for you. Now, that was Buffy jumping off the bed, by the way. So that was not something in your house. Don't be afraid, even though these stories are terribly scary. They're so scary. So be careful. Don't listen to them on your own. Make sure you're with friends and loved ones or just a cat that you trust, but not a cat like Buffy who just there did that to frighten you by making a noise that you might have thought was in your flat or at the back of the bus. And there was nothing down there. Or was there? Anyway, I have three scary stories for you now. I really hope you like them. Here we go, fellow Egypts. Don't be too afraid. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Hot stone. Rocks. Hot rocks. It's hard to believe that hot rocks could make you feel so good. Katie could feel tension melting away, the knots unfurling and lengthening back into what used to be her muscles. One big knot. That's all she was these days, a tight, clenched, vibrating, walking around knot. Work at centre here, very kind to them. Not so kind, Simon was behind it. It would look to everyone like they were doing the right thing, looking after her, her health, sending her all the way to a fancy spa in Ireland. But Katie knew it suited him for her to be away, out of his hair, his way clear. Two birds, one hot stone. Because there was another bird. Bird is what Simon calls women. Cheap, cheap, Katie used to say to his face back when she felt cheeky enough. She wouldn't do that now. Ground down, edges slowly smoothed like one of those pebbles you'd bring home from the beach to show someone you'd been thinking of them there. Eroded. No one thing, just comments, looks, judgment. Little digs in meetings letting her know who was boss. Him. After they'd slept together, things, of course, got worse. You stupid girl, she said to herself before anyone else could. You stupid girl to get into bed with the boss, handing all your power away. Never underestimate the power of a closed leg to a man who calls women birds and thinks that thighs are gateways. Once that gate had been opened, cheap, cheap, thought Katie. Cheap, cheap. I can feel you tensing up, said the woman. Stop thinking. The woman with the hands that rocked the hot rocks. Katie hadn't really noticed her come in until she placed the stones on her back. Just go in and get comfortable, the receptionist said. Someone will be with you in a minute. And on the heated bed, Katie's thoughts had raced and tightened, but just the words, stop thinking. And Katie was back in her body, back in the room. Stop thinking about London, Katie. You're in this room, in a fancy spa in Ireland, this warm, brown room. It was very brown. Cave-like, Katie supposed, was the desired effect. If it weren't for the toweling robes, Katie could imagine moss growing over her, covering her, inch by inch. Water trickling away like time. Drip, drip, cheap, cheap, fuck's sake. Kaya. That was her name, the side chick. Katie had seen it on the texts, though weirdly not seen her. Kaya wasn't in Simon's friends lists on any of the socials he used, and he used them all. Katie snorted at his lack of imagination. Did he only hook up with girls whose names started with K and had four letters in them? Had he hooked up with a Kit with two T's? And then she thought, hook up. That's all she and Simon had really done, if she thought about it. It made her crazy to think he'd worn her down for so little. You're thinking again, said the woman, I can see. Her accent wasn't Irish. Pleasant, maybe Eastern European. Just relax. I'm sorry, Katie said. It hasn't been an easy year. I know, said the woman gently. That's why you're here. Just let go. Sink. You must get so tired of this, said Katie. People bringing all their stresses and their woes in here and expecting you to end them. Oh, I can end them, said the woman. If that's what people want. I bet that's what they all want, isn't it? For a while, the woman said nothing. Then, breathed in. Not really. People worry. It's what they know. If they aren't all coiled, then they don't know they're alive. But you can help with that. Uncoil them. I mean, uncoil me. Katie felt tiny in her body, not having eaten or slept for months. The humiliation of letting Simon's games get to her had made her small. No wonder she had thrown that paperweight. She snapped, fought back. Thank God it hadn't hit him. Thank God others in the office had seen this all play out before with him. Cheap, cheap. A bird in the hand stopped thinking about Bush, Simon. It was nice of them to send her here. Well, convenient. Katie knew she couldn't go back. Not now. Humiliated. She was nothing to them, a speck, a grain. She hadn't even loved the fecker, and now look at what she'd lost. For a big town, London is a small one, and like everywhere, unfair. A woman's reputation doesn't mend. I can help with that, the woman said. I can make it stop, the thinking, thinking, thinking. Is that what you want? Who wouldn't, said Katie. Is that extra? She didn't want work to get a bigger bill and have even more shit to say about her. No. No, it's free. The woman removed the hot stones one by one and instructed Katie to roll over on her back. The recessed lights like little stars above. And starting at her feet, The woman began smearing mud, thick and clammy, so cold that Katie flinched. "Don't move," the woman said, "or it won't work." The tingle started in her feet. Not heat, more like freezer burn, pleasantly unpleasant, like that shit that Simon liked to do with ice sometimes that Katie pretended to like. As the woman worked her way up Katie's body, encasing her, the mud began to harden. "What does this do?" said Katie. Was this for muscles or for skin? "What is this process called?" The woman daubed the mud on Katie's throat. "Petrification," the woman said. "I'm turning you to stone." Bollocks, Katie thought, but couldn't say. Her voice was gone, a hardness in her chest, a hardness everywhere. She wanted to scream, but no longer had the means to do it. There was no running, her legs were solid now, fused and frozen, there would be no escape. The woman continued her work, methodical, calm. She'd done this before. As she worked her way up Katie's face, Katie made one last entreaty with her eyes. If the woman was resolute, she had a job to do. And just before she placed the mud on Katie's eyelids, sealing her in forever, Katie caught the name written on her badge. Kaya. Oh my God. Oh my God, so scary. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if that happened at a spa? They wouldn't get much on TripAdvisor now for that. Because, well, you'd be gone. You'd be a stone. But you know, often they have those stone gardens there. Just think about, where do those stones come from? Where do they come from? Where do they get those stones? Now, maybe it's fear of ribbons, but I don't like dressing up. I don't like it. I as an actor, this comes against me. I don't like the dressing up bit. I don't like the makeup bit. I like a bit of makeup, but not too much. You know when people have those incredible makeup artists who do Halloween scars and things and make skeleton faces and all of that? I think it's amazing and I look at it and I can appreciate it, but the idea of having it on my face just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I'm not built for Halloween at all. I'm just not built for it. So apologies, Halloween fans. You're on your own. I'm too paranoid to even take that on. Now, I hope you're doing okay. Here comes the second story. I hope you're not too frightened. Story two is called Haunty Haunty. Ooh. Ooh. I'm a ghost. I mean, we all are, even you. Only you've still got your meat suit on. When you become a ghost, you're completely naked and it feels so good. But when we come back among the living, we put on sheets so as not to offend. You living are offended by such strange things. Like there's nothing indecent about flesh, let me tell you. Especially when you don't have it anymore. You'd be thankful for a muscle or a bit of sinew. The sheets are not as simplistic as you see in cartoons, but they're not far off. Like if someone says that they saw a ghost and then goes on to describe what they were wearing... Laugh it off. Rubbish. There's no such thing as ghost clothes. Ridiculous. They're lying. Liars. The sheets are handed out as soon as you die in case you choose to go straight back and walk the earth. You're more likely to go back if you turn straight around. You know when mortals speak of going into the light? That's the light from the big laundry. You can imagine with all the smog and dirt of an earthly visit, the sheets take a lot of scrubbing, you know? If someone sees a ghost who's a bit grey, as is sometimes reported, that now is someone who's died before getting the hang of doing the afterlife laundry. They're overdue a trip back upstairs. Do not approach these spectres without a nosegay. They are prone to stink. Once you've been allocated your sheet, you have a choice. Go back and haunt your loved ones or forget. 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 Where was it? Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, most spirits choose forget. Life is hard, but love is strong, which is why some of us go the way of the sheet and stick around for a minute. A minute for us can be thousands of years for you. That's why only the most skilled work in the laundry upstairs. They have to keep an eye on the bleaching or the sheets get melted clean away. You don't want to take your eye off them or indulge in a memory or anything. A millennium could have passed, and sure then you'd be sheetless. It was easy for me. I turned straight around, wrapping my sheet about me as I was instructed. I wasn't finished, you see. I had business to attend to. I wanted to tell my loved ones, all of them, that I was all right. That I was naked now and unashamed, although the sheets were plentiful and clean. I missed the funeral, We always do. There's far too much to do when you're new dead. Loads of admin and sheet collection. Funny, we shed our clothes but not the need for paperwork. I guess so many die each minute that it'd be impossible to keep track without a system. It would have been fun to see the funeral, to see who came, to see who cried and who pretended to. Frances. She'd have been up the front, I'll bet, in a stupid fascinator. Frances. She'd have made the sandwiches, cutting off all the crusts, handing around tiny glasses of something disgusting when she knows I'd have preferred them all to go to the pub. She often told me that she wished me dead. Well, now, Frances, I am, and the joke's on you. I can come and watch you doing a poo if I want. I mean, I don't want to, but that's the kind of power we're talking about here. Imagine how gross that would be. Ugh, gross, Frances, like you. Be sure I'd make sure to move the toilet paper. Oh, you'll have checked for it before you sat down. It will have been there all foldy-foldy like you like. But when you need it, gone. But that's just the fun. And the business. The main reason I chose the way of the sheet. Well, I hurt someone. Someone who really loved me. I pushed him away because I was afraid. And now everyone's afraid of me. Me, who if they'd seen me just a year ago might have been glad, or a bit annoyed, or pretended not to see me. There are a lot of options for how to feel on seeing someone living, but now they're afraid, and if they see me they tell everybody, the papers, Joe Duffy, they might even go on telly about it. Imagine, just from seeing me. The person that I hurt knows who he is. If he didn't go to the funeral I wouldn't have been surprised. I was a dick. Fear made me a dick, but a dick I was all the same. I pushed him away because I was the one who was afraid. And he told me he knew I was afraid and that when it passed, he'd be there, waiting. And days passed. And he was right. And I wanted to tell him he was right. And I wanted to tell him I loved him. And that if he'd only forget that I'd been a frightened dick and let me make him dinner, that maybe we could start from scratch. And I was on my way to say all this when... So I need to tell him now that he was right. And I need to tell him that there's no need now to wait. That was a bit of a sad one, wasn't it? That was a bit sad. Oh dear, don't know where that one came out of. I hope you're enjoying these. There are three little stories, so there's one more. And my dog's running around at the moment, so in case you hear that, just pretend it's a werewolf. It's a werewolf running around my flat. People have called me a witch many times, and that's absolutely fine. I'm very, very fine with that. And hello to any witches listening in. Hello. Ooh. But here is career guidance. There's my dog now. Or is it a werewolf? She'd always been good at screaming. At football matches, at spiders, when someone left a boy band. It was high-pitched, crystalline. It'd go right through you. Someone said it was her scream that broke the glass in the trophy cabinet in the hall when a particularly exciting basketball game was moved inside due to rain. The scream was long and carried far, and the strangest thing was it didn't knock a spark out of her. If anyone else was to try to replicate the sound, they'd have to gulp in a lungful of air, rasp it out across their vocal cords and come up gasping only seconds later, even after weeks of training. It didn't bother her that way. It came naturally. She was beautiful in that way they say that girls in books are beautiful. Thin, long hair, long fingers with knuckles made for sliding rings over, long other limbs, almond eyes, the usual. She was never a rebel at school, though she never ran with the herd either. A loner, you might say, though never unfriendly. She didn't go out in the sun much, so her skin was sort of grey. This wouldn't go down well in books, where she'd have to have had either a luminous pallor or golden sun-kissed freckles in order to be beautiful. There weren't a ton of brown women in Anglophone classics, it has to be said. But this was Ireland, and it was what it was, and we were where we were, and this was how it was. She didn't stand out in class. She did well, but didn't excel. She gazed out of the window, and if you asked other students, if Irish kids did yearbooks, they'd have said she was here, but not here. Girl most likely to wander off at a festival. Girl most likely to miss the last bus due to lack of concentration. girl most likely to be forgotten. She didn't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and no one asked. And school went on, and school must end, and ambitions are discussed and parlayed into CAO applications and ideas. She had none. She seemed to feel she might be able to drift through life as she now drifted from room to convent room, but someone was watching. Someone with a plan. A day was arranged for students to talk to the career guidance teacher, a nun named Sister Eulogia, or Lodgy to the kids. One by one, in they went with lists of jobs like teacher, nurse, vet, doctor, if I get the points. It didn't matter if what they really wanted was to raise ostriches or to be a stay-at-home parent with a rich spouse or deal used cars. These were the kind of jobs you'd say to get out of career guidance meetings fast. No point saying NASA engineer. They'd have you in there all day suggesting extra maths and lamenting the fact that the science lab hadn't been updated since the 60s. This was a dream of a day if you really wanted to be in a profession that was achievable without genius or massive wealth. Say your achievable thing and go. Save your dreams for later. But did this one have no dreams? She realised Lodgie was talking to her. Her mind had wandered. She'd been staring out the window at the way the late spring breeze shifted the buds. Do you not have any dreams? Hopes, even? Maybe this was one of those rare cases. No achievable goal, no goal to speak of. Lodgy would have to crack open the dream strategy with this one, see where it led. Dead end. The girl would barely speak. You're the one with the great voice, aren't you? The girl nodded. She hardly realised when she was screaming, but the rest of the kids weren't long letting her know when she had. It was a kind of trance for her. If she was in the moment, off she'd go. And barely feel it. That kind of mode of expression only comes along once in a generation, said Sister Eulogia. I've only heard the like of it once before. You know what? She seemed to have made a decision. Come with me. And she locked the classroom behind them. It was after four and everyone had gone. And she led the girl down the warren of corridors that led to the part of the building forbidden to students, the part where the nuns lived. The girl followed. Hoping against hope this wasn't one of those situations where they told you cool nun stuff and gave you a nice dinner in an attempt to recruit you. Every day is gravy day here in the nuns. But it wasn't that. The only other time that students got to come to this hallowed convent zone was to serve tea to a visiting bishop or when a nun died if they were good singers and they might be useful at a funeral. But they weren't going towards the refectory or the chapel. In silence, they were going up the sweeping carpeted stairs to the nuns' own rooms. Sister Eulogia stopped outside a door, knocked twice, till an ancient voice said, "Come in." "Sister," said Eulogia, "I've someone to see you. Someone who has your gift." The older nun, kneeling in prayer, stood slowly, easing herself up with the help of her cot, the wall covered in pictures of Padre Pio and John the 23rd,
"I haven't spoken of that for many years."
"I know, but the child is rudderless, adrift, and the old ways are nearly lost."
"I turn my back on the old ways."
"I know, but they are who we are." And Eulogia disappeared down the corridor and out of sight. For a minute, the two women considered each other, one young and grey, the other ancient, monochrome, apart from yellowed fingers. And the old one knew that it was true. The energy was there. The calling to be calling.
"You're a banshee," she said. "Don't make that face. You already knew."
The girl put her hands to her own throat. The nun was right. And, in acknowledging already, something was unlocking, making sense.
"You were born that way. I was too. I used to come and wail and warn of death. I didn't need food or drink, not the same way humans do. I still don't, which is a shame, what with all the gravy on offer."
The young girl smiled.
"It's not an easy life, but if it is your calling, you will feel so whole, so full, so you. Have you ever just known? When someone's about to be taken, known it deep down, and the scream wanted to come out of you then, but you swallowed it, afraid of what you knew.
The girl nodded.
You're a banshee. It's not an insult, especially when we say it ourselves. They caught me. Said the old ways were evil, that I was evil, but death is enormous. We should wail. We should warn. Mourn with our whole bodies. They've forgotten, ashamed of grief. Well, you girl, you can help them. Don't let them catch you. You catch them. And mourn and warn and wail, and you can thank me later for the gift of your true calling. Or maybe just get me 20 major from the show. Girl? Oh, she's gone.
And she was gone. The girl slipped out of the convent and out of the town and out of people's memories. But they'd see her again and hear her. And when they heard her, they would know it was time for them to scream themselves. Well, now, there you go. So if you're listening to this and you're about to do your Leaving Cert or something, I know it's not that time of year, but if you're listening to this, don't fear. There's a job for everyone. If not a job, because there's not a huge amount of pay in bansheeing, but you would get a few wake sandwiches, maybe a bit of apple pie, and the fear and respect of the entire community. And you can't say fairer than that. Now, I have written a fourth story. It's called Postscript, and it is patrons only. It's going to be on the Patreon page, patreon.com/Tara Flynn IRL. That's Patreon or Patreon. I don't care how you say it. Patreon or patreon.com/TaraFlynnIRL. But you'll get whatever's happening here for free, as usual. I know a lot of us are stuck, and don't worry, that's fine. I'm going to keep making this because it's good for me, isn't it? Suck it up, Tara. Just do something creative. Do it. It's for its own sake, you fool. But if you would like to support this, not financially, but in another way, in many ways a better way, please rate it, review it, subscribe to it. Those stars all add up. Please help keep us in the charts. I'm paranoid enough already. Like, if I'm not charting, how will I even know where I am? So, you know, where am I? Maybe in the charts. That would be great. What a place for me to be. It would be lovely. So if you like Taranoia, please rate, review, subscribe. It only takes a couple of clicks, even if you don't want to write words, just stars. That would be lovely. But thank you for listening either way. I really appreciate it, especially in a week where things are so scary. It's just, you know, your time is appreciated. So thank you to Headstuff for giving me the platform. Thank you to Brian for all his help making this sound good. There was a lot of edits on this, I'll tell you, because of the dog running in and out. And I didn't want to treat you to all of that. So I clunked it out. When I clunk it out, Brian has to declunk. So he does a lot of podcasts around the Headstuff platform. So keep your ears out for him and his work. I want to plug another Headstuff podcast, as I'm hoping to do most weeks. One that I love is Juvenalia, because people get to talk about their best selves, really, which is their childhood selves. Might not be the best time for everyone, but we certainly have a lot of good memories that, you know, even if we've rose-tinted them, we can turn them into good memories. Because sometimes they're awful, let's be clear. But Juvenalia celebrates childhood and things you really liked when you were young or young teens. I spoke about ABBA. Because, as you know, that's where my heart is, in Sweden. And now it's time to say goodbye. Please don't be too scared. I'm going to ask Brian to bring in the music. Thank you, Brian. Flynnspiring time. Love is the answer to all life's questions, with the exception of hard sums. Now, I'll tell you what, this is one that really sticks in my craw, because I can't count. I always did sums on my fingers. I can't do them in my head. So whenever I was up by the blackboard, the nuns, yes, the nuns that inspired some of these stories, they weren't as scary though. Some of them were very nice. But they basically, they would ask me to keep my fingers where they could see them. Not for any filthy reason, but because I would be counting on them. But I would just pulse them. I would put them on a surface like the side of the blackboard and pulse them. And that was for easy sums. So imagine hard sums and me. God, we just don't go together. But apparently love is the answer to all life's questions, with the exception of hard sums. Thank you, fellow Egypts. Happy Halloween. See you soon.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.